February 11, 2014, City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. And as I call this meeting to order, let me at the outset announce that I've reviewed the minutes of January 14, 2014, approved them. And do we have any announcements before we go into this morning's agenda?
Yes, sir, Mr. Bukowski. We do have one case on the agenda that's in compliance. It is item number 9 for SMG 02-1411, 1328 Imperial Drive is in compliance February 4th, 2014. And I believe that's all I have.
All right, all those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying this morning's proceedings. Please step forward and be sworn.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yeah. First matter we have on the agenda is a lien review. Kathy E. Smith.
Thank you. Good morning.
Could you state your name, please? Could you state your name?
Kathy E. Smith.
Can you raise your right hand, please, ma'am? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, Ms. Smith, you've asked for a lien review. The amount of the lien at this point is $1,915.71. That's a result of the fine, the amount of $100 that commenced January 8th, 2014 to January 27th, 2014. All right, so, what would you like to say?
I would like to try to get it thought. I don't get no Social Security or nothing, none of that. I don't work or nothing. And I did everything I was supposed to been doing. Got the car's been removed since last year. And the fence down. I had a hard time getting the poles up because I had to get the poles up lightly by myself. So I finally got the poles up. Like, it's concrete was in the bottom of the poles from the fence. So that's the only thing that was holding me back was the poles. I finally got them up, called them out to see them, and everything was done. But I don't get no Social Security. I don't get work or nothing to try to pay no fine like that. So I try to keep the yard clean up, you know, every day much as I can by myself.
Okay, we had a vehicle, and as I understand it, the vehicle's removed when?
The vehicles had to be moved around about last year, between October or September, somewhere like that.
So, as I understand, I'm looking at your lien review request.
Yes, sir.
You're telling me that the vehicles were removed around September of 2013?
Yes, sir.
That they were running vehicles?
Yes.
And the fences were removed January 14th?
Yes, sir.
But the poles weren't down until the 24th?
Until the 24th.
And your explanation for that is you had to do that yourself?
Yes.
Okay. And did you have to do all this work yourself?
Yes, sir, I had to. Because I had a guy that come up from the AAA that put them up. But he couldn't come by and take them up for me because he had another job to do it. So I didn't have nobody to help me. Just between me and my grandkids and my brother and my oldest son. We got them up.
And your indication is that Mr. Stenson knew that you were in compliance.
Right? Yes.
How he failed to put that into the computer.
Yes. Because I called down here to the office and they said it wasn't in the computer yet. I talked to one of the girls down the office.
Okay. So as I understand it, what you're basically telling me is you had to do the work yourself, and due to your financial hardship, you don't have any means to pay any liens at all.
No, sir, I don't have anything.
Okay. And how many people are living in this house?
It's just me and my son right now. But I do have two little grandkids that the state watered me to keep shell custody. The mom get them through the week through school, and I get them through Friday afternoon, Saturday, and Sunday. Yes, sir.
So you have your son in the house, and you have grandkids that you look after part of the week?
Yes, sir.
And you have no income?
No income.
How do you support yourself?
Well, my daughter helping me right now. It's just the lights and the water. So we try to keep that water and lights down. By me owning a home, I ain't got to pay no rent or no mortgage or nothing. So she helped me with the lights and the water. So I try to keep that water and lights down so she'll be able to help me with it. So that's the only income I have right now.
Okay. What say the city?
Mr. Calder, the Mr. Calder, the record shows that the affidavit of compliance was actually showed a compliance date of January 27th. So it's not. I think we may be differing in a couple of days as far as the compliance itself. The city is asking for a reduction down to $500. And we understand the explanation of hardship. This is, however, a violation that started back in September of 2013. And she's been here a number of times. The staff has been out to the property a number of times, and we believe that that's a reasonable resolution. We recognize again. That this Ms. Smith, just similar to many of our violators, do have economic challenges. Nevertheless, we believe this could have been remedied within the time period allowed, and it wasn't done.
All right, the city's proposing to reduce the lien to the sum of $500. So you?
Well, I have to do a payment plan on it because I don't have anything to pay no. $500. This is a payment plan? Because I sure enough don't have no $500.
What kind of payment plan?
I mean, I guess I try to do every month or something.
Mr. McCouch, as I look for our staff support, that's always been a challenge for us, and I'd ask Ms. Hampton, I believe it's still a challenge for us to take periodic payments. It would be far better if there were some means, if she felt she could, to set that aside until she can pay it. But I don't know, Ms. Hampton.
It is difficult because of it's not me that would be taking it and being able to set up the payment plan. It's the finance department. So unless you have an invoice every month to bring in with a payment, because it's paid at utility billing, it would be difficult to...
In this circumstance, is it possible maybe for us to, you said maybe monthly? Did you have an amount you were thinking about?
Yes, sir. I mean, starting next month. I'm gonna have to go home and talk to my daughter and see if she'll be able to help me with it, because of how much it is. Like I said, she is helping me with the water and lights.
All right.
Well, what I was going to say, Ms. Patel, just perhaps if it's possible for her to do even $50 a month, Ms. Hampton can give her a set of 10 pre-printed invoices, and she can... you can see it. You would get those things turned in.
Okay. I'm reducing this fine to the sum of $191.57.
Yes, sir.
That's 10% of what the fine will be.
Yes, sir.
I'm giving you 90 days to pay.
Yes, sir.
If you don't pay it within those 90 days, and it stays at the $1,915.71.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. The fact of the matter is, you were in violation. You were fined, rightly so, taking into consideration primarily the fact that you had to do all the work yourself. I'm sure that had to be a hardship, and you're telling me you've got financial circumstances that are going to make payment of any fine difficult.
Yes, sir.
So in any event, that having been said, fine is the sum of, I guess I should make it easier on you, $190. $190. And you've got 90 days to pay that.
Yes, sir.
And if it doesn't get paid, keep in mind now, it reverts right back to $1,915.71, and you and I won't be meeting again.
Yes, sir.
Okay, good luck to you.
Thank you. Have a nice day. I see you.
Okay, John Nicholson.
Thank you. John Nicholson.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right. As I recall, we are here to determine a compliance date. And in reviewing the minutes, I see that we had some issue regarding the number of permitted units as well. And I guess that was perhaps the cause for the postponement of the compliance date. As my understanding, you all weren't able to work this out. Then the question became what your remedies were, whether you were going to pursue them, and how much time would be required to exercise those rights. Does that sound about right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tony, any progress on this matter?
Yes, Mr. Vakalja. I have a response from our development services that informed us that, and I'll read this because it's relatively short. It's from Rose Askew. It says, the property listed above is located in the Main Street redevelopment area. The zoning designation is RP, which is residential professional, and the land use is office transitional. The zoning and land use allows a maximum of 4 units, provided all LDC requirements can be met for the multifamily use, which would be, for example, landscaping, parking, et cetera. And let me know if this answers your question. So that's where we started, was the question of how many units were allowed. 4 units are allowed. We searched our records, and our records show that there's never been any permitting authorizing the 2 additional units, if there is, or any more than 2 units. There's authorization for 2 units, and even if we look back, I have a letter which I'll provide to you, which was the notice of violation from November 7, 1996, that addressed a similar issue. A reexamination takes place in 5 days was for operating rental units without a city occupational license. And which showed a conclusion that that the house only had 1 garage apartment as rental. So it was just a home and the 1 garage apartment. And I'll show this.
He's got it.
Oh, you came a copy? Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. And that's a consistency. That's consistent with what we found searching our records, that there's no more than 2 units that have ever been authorized. Now, there are 4 units allowed, but for him to have those additional units, he would have to obtain the permits and do whatever. It needed a technical review. It's a residential improvement, multi-family, so he'll have parking requirements, those types of things that he'll have to address. Okay, and as Ms. Langford has pointed out to me that right now her inspection is showing a total of 5 units, which would mean he has 1 unit more than what's allowed. So in addition to whatever efforts, if he wants to move it to 4, it would mean he would need to remove 1 in addition to everything else.
So if I understand what you're telling me, he's allowed 4, he's been permitted 2, he has 5.
That's correct.
And the city wants it back down to 2, or at a minimum, back down to 4, subject to going through whatever process he has to go through to get those approvals.
That's exactly right. Yes.
I'm going to say, Mr. Nicholson.
Do this one? Talking to Juan Williams downstairs. Her records go back to 95. The conversion happened before 95. The city came out, inspected it. The only problem that when they came out was electrical. I was told in 91 or 90 that the inspector would be there afternoon. So in the morning I ran out to Home Depot. While I was gone, the inspector came and said since I wasn't there, there was a problem with the diagram, didn't show the lights in the ceiling. So he denied the electrical. So what the contractor did was put the electrical back instead of 2 boxes to just to 1, and that satisfied the city. So the city knew about it in 90, and then in 2000 and
in
the conversion. They came out, inspected, did the electrical, did the plumbing. from the there were three car garage downstairs. I already had the two bedroom upstairs, the unit. I converted the three car garage into three units downstairs. Okay.
So you're telling me the city knew this all along, so they should somehow be a stop from complaining about it now.
Okay. Yes. All right.
Keep going.
So anyway, the electrician took away the second box, the electrical box, left the first box, reconnected everything to the first box, and that satisfied the city. And so I didn't want to go out and have
the electrician, the inspector,
said I could not have two boxes because I didn't have a diagram showing the lights in the ceiling, because I had the lights in the ceiling and the air conditioning units on a separate power box because they drew the most electricity. So he said, no, I couldn't do that. So we went back to a single box, and I didn't want to pay the electrician to come out again and go through the hassle of waiting for the inspector to come out again. So the electrician said using the one box was satisfactory. So I just left it that way, and that was almost 30 years ago. And then in 2002, the city wanted me to have an inspector. They had a program, and a guy from the fire department came out, inspected the units. I had to add a heater attached to the wall because they didn't want separate movable heaters. So I did that, and then I passed that. And that went on, and I was told that they would contact me for renewal, and they didn't. So Juan said they had sent a notice for renewal, but they sent it to the wrong address, and I never got it. So they discontinued it.
For renewal of what?
The permit licensing for a triplex. See, you're allowed to have a one extra unit in your home, and then in the garage apartment was acceptable. But once you have more than two units, it's more than a duplex, you have to have a license at the time. So I went and got a license for the triplex. And the fireman came out.
Triplex for the garage?
For the garage.
Triplex for the property?
The garage. All right? So the city fireman came out, did the inspection. The only thing that he found wrong was the attachment of the heater. And then I attached heaters to all of the walls so they couldn't be moved.
Is there a piece of paper somewhere where it says, the city says, okay, you can have five units on this property?
Nowhere.
Does the paper exist?
No.
And if I understand what you're telling me, because an electrician said, okay, one box instead of two, and because a fire inspector told you to do certain things, you inferred from that the city has approved you having five units on that property?
Okay, let me put it this way. The city okayed it, but they don't have the paperwork.
What?
All the units that I have, the city okayed in 90. Their paperwork only goes back to 95. I didn't keep any paperwork from 90. I don't have any paperwork that far back. And the city doesn't have any paperwork that far back. So, no, I have no paperwork, and the city has no paperwork for 90. Anything after 95, the city has paperwork for. They have paperwork for the licensing of the three units in the triplex. They have licensing when they sent out the certified letter that went to 411. They've got, I don't know if they have the name of the guy, but he's still working for the city, the fireman, that came out. That then allowed me to have a permit, certified permit, for the rental units back in 2002. Juan's got that on file. So the county knows it's a triplex. The city knew it was a triplex. The city inspected the triplex. The city okayed the triplex. And at this point, they're saying they don't know. They did not go through all of this. And the paperwork is downstairs in permits and licensing.
Okay. Jackson, Mr. Nicholson's telling me the city knew, okay, approved, sanctioned, ratified, acquiesced, conceded, whatever. Let's say the city.
The city disagrees with that. We have no records that supports that. The only record we do have is that note of 96 that tells us that when they came out that there was one residential unit and one garage unit. It was a two-unit. There were two units on the property.
Being the house.
Yes.
And the garage.
That's correct.
That's what the city's records indicate.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I read that twice, and I don't get that from what her Judith Beckel said, that they came out and said there wasn't a problem with my house not having a license on the house, and she says it's not required on the house because it's homesteaded. That's what the notice says. It doesn't say anything.
You have a rental unit in
correct, but it doesn't say anything about the number of units in the rental. He's saying that it specifically says only one rental. I'm saying that that document, I can't read saying that it has anywhere that says there is only one rental in the back.
Except that it says only has one garage apartment as rental. No license required.
That's what it says.
Lives in home and only has garage apartment as rental.
One
or two. Okay. So just the garage is a rental, not the house.
But now you have a rental unit in the house as well.
No.
But you just said you had two units in the house.
No. I said the city's code says that if you live in a house and you have a rental unit, it's considered a duplex, and at the time you weren't required to have a license for that. The city just changed its laws a year and a half, 2 years ago, that now you have to have a license for one or more rental units. They had more than three previously, and they've changed that law since 1990. They changed it, I think, a year and a half, 2 years ago. Pam Woods passed it. Pushed it, so that all rental units are now required to have a license.
That's not what the violation is. It's not that there's not enough, that you don't have a rental license for those units.
Well,
it's that the units are not permitted units. It's a non-conforming use because you have too many units.
But you had said that I did not have one. I never had one. You never knew about it. And now I showed you that, yes, you did know about it, and yes, I did have a license. The license just expired. So if the city knew about it and gave me a license for it and inspected it, then the city knew about it, is what I'm saying.
And again, just clarification on the reading. As you read this, you left out that it only has one garage apartment. It didn't say it only has garage apartment.
Okay.
But it only has one.
I didn't see that. All right.
Yeah, yes. Garage apartment.
Okay. I just read that it's garage apartment.
Looking at the notice of violation, and under description of violation, it says non-conforming use. Number of units exceeds allowed amount of three. Am I reading that correctly?
Yes, that's correct. Number of units exceeds allowable amount of, and it said three. At that time, no permit for construction, which is something we would like to amend at that time. That's what the thought was by the inspector until we went to follow up and determine the that follow-up information as far as allowable units.
Okay.
I'll ask the inspector to explain that further.
Allowed amount of three, no permit for constructing over three units. I take it that should say number of units, as I understand the city's position, it should say number of units exceeds the allowed amount of two.
Correct. Main house, apartment house.
That's correct.
Okay, so that three should be two.
And allow from the perspective of permitting. It's only
no permit for constructing over two units.
That's correct.
So
from a zoning
perspective, the violation.
I'm sorry.
And I guess what I'm hearing from Mr. Nicholson is that I don't know. I haven't heard him use the term grandfather. I've used the term estop. But I guess what I'm hearing from him is the city's known for years he's had five units. Why is he in violation now? And the answer to that would be what?
Well, I think he's offering that as a rebuttal. We don't agree that. Our knowledge of it isn't that he had permits for it, that it was authorized. Whatever knowledge we have is what we've what we've been able to find in our paperwork, which is an indication that when there was a concern about the number of units, that the verification was that there was one house and one rental apartment, one garage apartment, which was approved and satisfactory. And that was back in 1996, well before the issues of rental inspections and the other things that Mr. Nicholson is bringing up over these last couple of years, the new amendments. As far back as I can find in our code from a zoning perspective, that the zoning of that area, as far as I could see, was that it was a zoning requirement that would allow him just what it says, up to four units, but our records show that he only had two units that had ever been approved. And we have nothing that shows anything more than that.
So you're telling me your proof says two. He's telling me his proof says five.
But he's telling you there's no.
Fine, that's fine.
I got
Let
you.
Let me move on.
Yes.
All right. It's clearly non-conforming at this stage, I would assume.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, to what extent is he allowed to continue, assuming I'm persuaded by him that he was allowed to have five units? And to be honest, I'm pretty skeptical about that. I got to be honest with you. I mean, it's a house and a garage. How we get five units out of that's beyond me. But in any event, assuming that I'm persuaded that the city's known for years that he's had five units there, what precludes me from enforcing the current code, if anything?
Well, the question would be whether he had a legal non-conforming at the time. If indeed it was non-conforming, was it legally non-conforming? And we're saying that whatever changes were made were not legal changes, so that its conformance would not be a legal non-conformance. If it wasn't legally changed, then it can't be grandfathered or made legal just because people came out and saw it.
How long did a legal non-conformity continue? Can it continue indefinitely?
Yes.
Well, we'd have to look to see if there are other health, safety, I'll limit it to health and safety kits since I can't think of the other. But purposes for looking to see what other concerns we have. I don't know what those concerns would be at this point. As he said, you know, if we take his suggestion of the past, maybe there had been a reason for someone to go out and do a fire inspection. Those inspections aren't related specifically to someone sitting down and reviewing whether or not he's meeting zoning requirements, but maybe from a tenant's concern or complaint about a specific issue may have brought out a fire inspection or some other issue of safety or health, safety, and welfare. But the issue of whether or not he's legally zoned or legally permitted to operate is a different question. That question is one that, as this inspector and her research has found, that there's nothing that supports his claim that it's a lawful nonconformance or a lawful modification of the use of property.
Has he been obtaining rental licenses all these years? No. Why haven't you been obtaining rental licenses?
I did.
When?
Okay, in 2002, they have a record of it downstairs.
2002, okay.
Correct. Yes. And in
2014.
Okay, but in 2004 or 5, they sent a renewal to the wrong address. All right? I just did not I understood that, I think at the time that there would be one, but I forgot all about the renewal of a license. Because in the past.
You didn't know you needed one?
No, you needed to start one. I didn't know that they would continue it. It just didn't process that it would be an ongoing one because it wasn't yearly. It was like 3 years or 4 years you had to renew the license. Do you understand what I mean? It's not like your car, every year you have to renew your car registration. The city didn't do that at the time. It wasn't a yearly thing. It was in 2 or 3 years. and then they would send you a renewal notice. Well, the renewal notice was sent to 411, not to 413. So I never got it. So Juan said, I'm sorry, it should have gone to your house because the record shows that you live in the house and this is a garage apartment. So it should have been sent to the home instead of the
Juan
rental units.
Said, the record shows you live in the house and
right.
this is a garage apartment.
Correct. And that the renewal notice should have been sent to the house where I lived rather than to the rental units. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Barely.
Okay. It's,
I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
All right. So what brings this matter before us now? What is the triggering event that's brought this violation?
There was a tenant on the property with no occupational license. He complained that he had no water. And that's what triggered us going out, looking at the property, talking to the tenant, access to the buildings to see what the issues were.
And at that point, you discover there's 5 units there?
Correct.
Are all 5 units occupied?
No. There was the main house was not occupied. Mr. Nicholson was, or at least so he says, the one of the apartment garage apartments he was occupying, and then this gentleman was occupying another one, and there had been a tenant in one of the other garage apartments that had just left, according to the tenant that was there.
And no occupational licenses?
No.
I mean, no rental licenses?
No. Which is why that's one of the items that I was cited for. Since then, the tenants moved out, but...
Can I make a comment? The city passed about a year and a half ago a new ordinance in which all rental units now have to be... So they were going through the entire city, going through for all rental units. It was stated from the dais that they would start with their backlog or what they had of licenses and notify all the people in a progressive pattern. Those that want to have their apartments checked and pay for the license would be given priority first. Then they would go through their licensing that they already had, and then they would go through people that have apartments that have not been licensed. It was going to be a progression, all right? I was told that I would get a notice. Never got a notice. My mother developed dementia. So I decided I was going to close down my rental units and not rent until the issue with my mother is satisfied. So in the beginning of October, at a city commission meeting, Glenn Storch said that they would not start the project next to my house for another 6 to 8 months, which is a big Russian project about 200 feet away. So I decided, okay, since now's the perfect time not to rent. So I closed everything down, told the tenant that by the end of October, he would have to leave. At the end of October, see, I was commuting back and forth to Miami. Before I left, I said, when I come back, I'm going to be turning off the water, which is the end of October. He said, not a problem. If I can't find a rental unit, I'll move in with a friend. So when I came back at the end of October, I told him, I'm turning off the water November 1st. He said, fine, I'm moving in with friends. When I came back on the 13th, I believe, or the 14th, which is a Wednesday, whatever that Wednesday is, the water was turned off. They had already put on my front porch a letter saying that they had inspected the property, blah, blah, blah. So the tenant had complained in advance, and they came out, inspected, and did this whole thing within like 4 hours. So I'm anticipating that he actually complained prior to all of this. But anyway, that's the gist of it, is because I'm closing down the unit because I'm staying in Miami 3 weeks out of the month, and I only come up to pay bills and check on the house and whatnot. So there's no rental, and there won't be any for the foreseeable future. I don't know how long this may last. It'd be several years, probably. And with regard to documentation, it's unfortunate the city threw out all its documentation from this time period, but I should be held accountable if they've tossed their documents.
I would be very surprised if this city tossed the documents, but I don't know the answer to that. But
that's
like
what Juan said.
Okay. What I'd like to say is this, so, Mr. Bekelja, rental property or renting units, especially multi-units, is a business. And the owner of those properties has to have a business tax receipt. And that's something that's the duty of the ownership, the business owner. In this situation, Ms. Nicholson says he knew that he had to have one. He had one initially, and for many years, he's ignored something as simple as even obtaining the business tax receipt, which would validate, if indeed there was something that he would try to validate the existence of the units and its approval, that would have been something to do it. My position would be that the election not to obtain the annual business tax receipt would in essence be a decision to abandon or at least give the appearance of abandoning any claimed use that he would have. Because when we go out on to reinitiate or restart or just make a determination of a business, we go out looking at it as it sits. And if this isn't sit as a property that would be renewed, even though he is asking whether that's true or not or whether it's correct, would you ask what interferes with the continual use on a non-conforming use? Well, what interferes with it is someone who abandons that use by not proceeding in a way that would show that they're continuing to operate in a lawful manner. His election not to have a business tax receipt, not to pursue a business tax receipt, that alone arguably would have abandoned that use anyway. But in addition to that, I think I'm hearing Mr. Nichols say that his intent is to comply either way, at least at the moment. So I'm not sure where he's going from there. I mean, he's suggesting a period of time where he intends to cease rental.
Okay. My mother's dementia has nothing to do with whether I can test this or not. And secondly, there are three other houses on the block that have six units. All right. I have 2,000 square feet. The house next to me had 700 square feet. The 700 square feet has six units. The other tall house at the end of the block has six units. So my having five units is not unusual for the area. And then plus there's 37 units apartment building across the street. There's a triplex, a single family, triplex, single family duplex on my block. So it's not that it's a single family neighborhood. There's an apartment complex across the street, and there are two other sixplexes. Because you were making a comment that it would be unusual to have five units in a single-family home. In 2,000 square feet, 2,200 or whatever it is, there's plenty of room to configure a three-bedroom, a two-bedroom, and for efficiencies. And for parking, none of the units have parking. None of them. The other two sixplexes have no parking whatsoever.
Okay, is it within my purview to be basically hearing evidence to determine whether or not a non-conforming use has been abandoned? Is that my call? I'm not trying to pass the point. I'm just asking.
Actually, it's a staff call, but I mean, it will be brought to you, and ultimately, yes, it's your
determination. And then, in the event there was a dispute, no.
Yes, the answer is yes.
And somebody needs to resolve it. And I guess what I'm asking is, am I the one who resolves that? Because at some point, someone here needs to be making a determination. You know, Mr. Nicholson is claiming that I may be a non-conforming use, but I'm a non-conforming use that's existed for 20-plus years. Right under the nose of the city of Daytona Beach. So I don't understand why all of a sudden now they can come in and say my five units need to be knocked down to two. And I can also, just a second, and I can also appreciate the city saying, well, you know, this man's operating a small apartment complex there, and it's somewhat disingenuous for him to be coming here and saying he didn't know he needed an occupational license or he didn't know he needed no rental license. And so I guess you, in turn, are almost saying, since he didn't do those business things any reasonable businessman would know he had to do, he should be a stop from asserting that it's anything other than what it appears to be. A house with a garage, or at the maximum, a house with a garage apartment that we are aware of. I'm looking at something from the county that says there's a residence. In building one's a residence. Building two's a triplex. So the county apparently is of the opinion. What?
We differ with that.
Can I see that for a moment, please?
Bowen, it's fine.
And also, I contend the use of the word non-conforming, because the area is conforming for that area. That's also a contention about whether the city coming out granting me a permit to have three units. A fourth one I can understand, but they knew it was three units. The county listed it as three units to have them come out and say, well, because the previous administration sent someone out from the city to inspect and issue a license to have three units there, to sit there and say, well, we don't know. And to say that I don't have documentations from 1990.
The units you're talking about are the garage apartment.
The garage units, yes.
Okay.
So see, you have a house, and then the garage has three units. The maid's quarters, yeah.
Okay. Well, my point is the house houses two different entities.
Correct. All right. Because now the tax, for tax purposes, since I rent out the back.
So what does this mean, if anything?
They have to tax me differently because it's a rental unit.
What does this tell us?
It tells you nothing more than just what he said, the status of taxing, and for whatever point or whenever he revealed to the county for taxing purposes, that's what he left them to understand he had. We believe that was changed recently based on just the information from my inspector, that's not something that's always been in the county, but it wouldn't define his right for those units or whether they're properly there or anything else as relates to city permitting or even make it proper in a zoning perspective. A response to your question of is it within your purview, what's in your purview is to make factual determinations, and what we're declaring this as a determination based upon the information that's been provided, the evidence that's been brought forth, that yes, we feel you can make the determination as it relates to whether or not those units whether he's abandoned a use or not abandoned a use, and making your determination whether he's in compliance or in not compliance. Now, what we also would like you to be reminded of is, even if we get past those issues of the questions of number of units, that we have a whole list of other issues of non-compliance that we also need to deal with.
To what extent will those other issues be impacted by the determination? Well, they'll ultimately be impacted by the number of units.
Let me look to my inspector.
Let me back up and ask my question that I started with. To what extent will the determination regarding the number of units impact the balance of the compliance you just alluded to?
Mr. Garcia.
Good morning, sir. As far as the impact of the number of units that are there, it's not going to impact them at all because the violation still exists. So whether regardless if they were separate units, being 113, 111, 112, there's still violations within those units that have to be addressed, along with the property itself.
For example, if we're eliminating a unit, then perhaps he doesn't need a fire extinguisher in that unit.
Correct. So if we were eliminating a unit, but there's still mold, electrical work, so forth and so on, that have to be addressed in one way, shape, or other. So it's either by eliminating that unit or correcting the issues that's there at hand. There's also issues within the property. There's also issues within both structures, the main house and the garage unit. The photographs indicate that. There's trash and debris throughout the property. So those are other issues that we have to address. It's not just the non-conforming use that Mr. Nicholson is contending that he does have or whether he doesn't have, but there are other life safety issues that are involved within the property.
But, for example, if he has five units there and I'm persuaded by the city that he shouldn't have more than two, sounds like there's some major remodeling to be done.
Correct.
To eliminate those units.
Exactly.
To eliminate kitchens, to eliminate perhaps bathrooms.
Correct. And all those would require the necessity of obtaining a permit and having the work done by a general contractor and having the inspections done and performed by the city.
And is perhaps a time in which being an attorney may be a disservice, but it's my understanding whether somebody has abandoned non-conforming use or not, that could be a pretty thorny issue. It's pretty fact-intensive.
Correct.
And what I'm hearing so far is his failure to obtain rental licenses should somehow be construed as an abandonment of any non-conforming uses.
Correct.
And I guess that's an alternative argument to the first argument, which is he wasn't allowed 5 units to begin with.
That's correct.
That's correct.
And if I can state, the issue of, and I know you already know this, but just so I can state on the record, the issue of whether or not a property down the street has 6 units or not.
No, that goes to what you had said, though. Your comment was the house is too small to have five units. A smaller house next to me has 6.
Well, let's bring them in next.
Okay. Well, no, they're licensed. Everything's licensed. That's the.
You're not licensed.
Yes, I was. I'm not now, but I was.
Since
2002 to 2006.
Took a nap for 12 years and then.
The license went for several years. The license went for several years. And then it took several years to the city to initiate the new licensing agreement. That was in the paperwork for years now.
Mr. Fakelch, I know of nowhere, and I've been with the city since 1999, where a business tax receipt exceeded a year's. Approval. I don't know of a license that a BTR that would have been multi-year BTR.
Okay. Check with the city, not the Business Bureau, not with Tallahassee. Check with the city of Daytona Beach. When they give you a license, it's multiple years. And Juan has a receipt of when they sent out the renewal notice. So it gives you the start and the stop of when that license was. And they didn't bother to look up the license. Whether or not it lapsed or not, and whether or not it took several years for the city to go through what they are going to do, has nothing to do whether I went through all the procedures already, and the city inspected the property already. The fire department came out and inspected it for rental units, 3 rental units. The city's already done all of that, and they have records of it downstairs.
We have the current tax assessor's information. Shows 2 units, a single family in Building 1 and a single family in Building 2.
Okay, you know, we're not going to do this anymore. We could be here all day. But at the same time, this is an important issue. And it impacts Mr. Nicholson's property rights, which I'm sensitive to. And it also impacts the city's ability to enforce its current ordinances, you know, and eliminate non-conforming uses, which I'm also cognizant of. And if I am supposed to make this, I mean, this is basically a property right determination here. And I don't mean to sound like a judge here, even though I guess that's why they put me up here. But, I guess I just need to hear more about why the city claims he should not be able to assert that he has 5 permissible units in there. And I want to hear more detail from Mr. Nicholson as to why he thinks, you know, the city can't enforce its current ordinance regarding the number of permitted units. And this is central to this whole case because if I make the determination there's only 2 units, that's radically going to change the construction of that of these buildings. If I say 5 units are okay, and I can tell you right now, I don't know where 5 units comes from at all. Because even just looking at this thing, this tells me there's a front building, 1.
House with maid's quarters.
There's a garage triplex, 4. Well,
correct.
5. So even the document you've given me, mm-hmm. shed any light, as far as I'm concerned, on how you arrive at 5, or how you would even claim to be permitted 5. But my point is,
no, they're saying 5.
Going back and forth and just grabbing little bits and pieces of or scraps of information and throwing them at me is the most efficient way of doing this. To what extent can work be done around these. I guess what I'm trying to say is, are there items on this notice of violation that could be addressed and resolved, notwithstanding the dispute regarding the number of units that we're dealing with?
Yes.
Because I'm trying to get something moving here.
If I can say this, Ms. Fukaljo, I think we're really overkill on the issue of the non-conforming use aspect of it, only because we're not saying he's not permitted four units. We're saying he is permitted four units. We're just saying that if he's going to have four units, that he have to bring those units into compliance by obtaining permits and making them lawful. That's all.
Okay.
The additional units, or he needs to let them go, one or the other. So we're not trying to stop him from having four.
And you're talking by necessity about the elimination of at least one unit.
That's correct.
Okay.
And I would like to say, and I want the inspector to answer your question, so I'll hand the mic over to her. But I also wanted to just remind you, at least take a position as to the perspective that the city has presented its evidence, and we believe that the burden shifts once we've presented that evidence. Mr. Nicholson talks about past off of his memory, and we just don't know of anything that supports any of the stuff that he's saying. Our search hasn't supported any of the things that he's saying, and there's no records that supports it. And the statement of, well, there's no records means that that it is because I say it is, we just don't believe it's an adequate basis for him to continue in the way that he's continuing. And we have a concern that, and I know you asked this question for this reason, that we don't want the remaining violations to sit for months and months as we wrestle over where he goes related to his two units, four units, or five units. But as to the question of whether or not, what can he do while we try and figure that out, I'll hand that over to...
Well, let me tell you where I'm going with this thing, because it's a bit of a thorny issue. And I'm hoping I'm not making a mountain out of a molehill but I don't, I don't think I am. My inclination is to find about an hour's time, sometime between now and the next meeting, and well, let me put it this way. If the city is telling me he should have no more than two units there, and he's wrong when he says we allowed him to have five, okay, then I'll give the city an opportunity to prove that. If Mr. Nicholson is contesting, the city allowed me to have five units here, you know, okay, well, between two and five, that's a huge disparity. All right, and as far as I can see from looking at the notice of violation, that determination is going to impact all kinds of work down the road. Now, if Mr. Nicholson's in agreement that he's only allowed four units, and he's in agreement that he'll voluntarily remove one, and he's in agreement that he'll submit a permit application for the other two, then we don't need to do any of this. Are you agreeing to do all that?
Yep.
You are agreeing to do all that.
Yep.
To remove a unit.
If the city won't allow, see, there's six units next door. If I have to go through something to allow that extra unit, because when the fire inspector came out and said there would be a price difference and put me in a different category, that's why at that time I didn't have four units in the back. I was permitted the four in the back, but I did not go with four because it put me in a different category. Now the city goes permanent from one unit on. So it doesn't matter which category I'm in. So then I would apply to the city to legalize that fourth unit. Do you understand?
Are you in agreement that to reduce the number of units and to submit permit applications for the two that the city is claiming require permit applications? Are you agreeing to do that?
If I'm required to resubmit the old application again, yes.
If you're required to submit the old application, well, I don't know what that means.
That meant that I did it one time before, but they don't have records, and I don't have records for it.
And you're going to submit? Okay. We're going in circles here.
Right. My contention is we went through all this once, and I was told that the city did not have records prior to 95. It's when the construction occurred. And secondly, the city does have records for the 2002 application for a triplex and an inspection and an issuance of a license from the city in 2002. Those are my two contentions. Because I went downstairs to check with permits and licensing right after the meeting last month.
Okay, Tony, then I'm finding myself dragged back to a question I asked a little while ago, and that is, kind of a another question. You're telling me I have the authority to make these findings of fact. I guess the next question is, what facts do I need to take into consideration in order to determine whether that those five units were abandoned in some fashion?
Well, I think what will be helpful is that we do have LaWanda Davis, the
license manager.
The license manager, and she could speak to a couple of the issues that we've left hanging, such as the issue related to the business tax receipts.
What were the questions? You just need to state your name and let me swear your name
too. LaWanda L. Davis, license manager for the city of Daytona Beach.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. What are the questions?
Okay, well, one, as far as the history of our business tax receipt, always have we had an annual?
Historically, we've always had business tax receipts. They're renewed annually. They expire September 30th of every year. The only thing that has been new is the rental program and how many units. But I went back into the archives and all the systems when Mr. Nicholson came down, and he didn't carry a license for a rental at all in either one of our systems, previous one or the current one.
For how far back did you look?
The SB client goes back to like 1980. We started in the past 10 years for a BT for rentals where he's in our new system, but it only says for two units. So even when we came on board with the new program, we've only licensed him for two units. So we're in agreement that whatever you guys agree upon as units, I can do for the business tax. He just needs to pay the fees, pull the appropriate permits, and get the okay from zoning from this point on.
Did you look at your documents and find that I did apply for a permit in 2002?
Yes, there's a letter from the previous license owner, Judy Bickle, but it said for two units, main house and one additional garage unit.
Okay, but I was issued a permit in 2002. The guy came out and inspected, and I believe you said that they sent out a renewal notice, but to a different address. Remember, I didn't renew it? You said you had
that could be possible. That could be possible, but it would have been for two units.
All right, we got other people here, and we could be doing this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little convinced we could spend an hour or two, and it would still be as muddled as possibly could be. And at the same time, I'm still going to want some answers to some questions, such as, is the failure to obtain that rental license significant or substantial enough to constitute an abandonment of those five units? That's one of the questions I would have. You know, usually abandonment to me means somebody got up, moved off, the property sat dormant for a while, then somebody came back and tried to resume a non-conforming use. And then you hear abandonment. Okay? You're telling me, well, whether they're occupied or not, it's tantamount to an abandonment because, quite frankly, what he did was he went out of his way to stay under the radar to keep us from learning or to keep us from discovering that he really was using, you know, had five units that he was renting out. And any reasonable businessman would know he's supposed to have a rental license. Okay, but my point is you're bringing up some factual issues here that we're just kind of developing as we go along here this morning. And there are also some questions that I need answered as far as what sort of things am I supposed to take into consideration if you're going to assert not just that he wasn't entitled to it to begin with, but that even if I find that he was entitled to it, he's abandoned it now. Because you're bringing up two arguments. You're saying he wasn't entitled to it to begin with, and then you're saying, and the fact that he's had them all this time is irrelevant because he's abandoned it. Okay, and I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying we're bringing up two issues here, and each of you are throwing little scraps of information at me. And I'm just, and like I said, we could be doing this for a long time. And I'm wondering if it wouldn't be more efficient to just do it. I'm not talking about postponing anything for any length of time. I'm talking about like within the next week to 10 days, if we have to have a special setting just to hear the evidence regarding the city's position and or abandonment, happy to do it. Mr. Nicholson just keeps throwing a lot of hearsay out there about, you know, Juan did this, and, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry did that. And which, by the way, if we reconvene, that ain't going to carry any muster with me.
Right.
You've got people you want to bring down here to testify.
Okay.
Bring them down here to testify. Anyway, that's just my thought.
Okay. With regard to the what else can be done, there's a lot of outside stuff, clearing up the yard, which has been done, except for two areas. Permits have been pulled to put up back the fence and to repair the back of, unit. So several things have been done already on that, and there are more things that can be done regardless of the permitting. The exterior, the painting, the caulking of the windows, all that stuff can be finished without a determination one way or the other. Because you had asked that previously, what could be done, and there are a lot of things that could be done and are being done and have been done.
All right. What does the city want to do?
The city would like to proceed. There is a lot of stuff that can be done on the outside. As far as pulling, I checked at 7:30 this morning. There had not been any permits pulled. The work that was done between last hearing and this was there were some rocks and some mulch put in the driveway. There's been no further clearing out that's noticeable. There are still areas of large areas of trash and debris. There still needs paint. It's not been pressure cleaned. There's rotten wood that's not been touched. There's a multitude of things that have been ignored in favor of mulch and rock.
How long should it be? Okay, in your mind's eye, with regard to those matters that don't turn on whether or not units have to be removed, how long would it take to bring those things into compliance?
Give it 2 weeks for permits, 30 days for work, so I'd say a month and a half.
Okay. And just for my edification, just rattle off the top of your head the kinds of things you're talking about that you think could be done, notwithstanding this debate regarding the number of units.
All the rotten wood removed, the house pressure, both buildings pressure cleaned, painted, all the wood replaced, yard cleaned up, all of that debris, windows fixed.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
All right. What say Mr. Nicholson to that? She's saying you should have the permit. She's saying, notwithstanding this debate about the number of units, there are things that can be done to work this thing toward compliance. She's rattled a few of them off the top of her head. I'm sure that was not an exhaustive list, and I'm not intending to hold her to that.
Right.
And she's saying that within 2 weeks, you ought to be able to get the necessary permits to do it. Within 4 weeks after that, you should be able to have the work done. So I guess she's contemplating about 60 days for you to be able to take care of things that aren't totally dependent upon the determination of the number of units. What
correct.
Say you to that?
Correct. The wood has been the wood has been acquired for the fence. It just has to go up. I went yesterday, went downstairs, filled out all the paperwork. I was going to pay the $59. She said, no, you don't pay the $59 until it comes out and is inspected. I was anticipating paying the $59 for the permit, and she says, you've already issued a permit. You can do the work. I had somebody come out last night at 5 o'clock, so I have all the fencing material. I've replaced what was stolen.
I'll leave all the details
okay.
to you. The suggestion is that within 60 days, you ought to be able to take care of a lot of the items on this property that aren't totally dependent on the determination of the number of units.
Correct.
Okay. All right. All right. Now, let's get back, before I try to fashion an order here. Let's get back to the units. What do you want to do about that? I'm not comfortable making a determination as I'm sitting here right now. I'm not comfortable that you're entitled to 5, and you may very well be right that you may only be entitled to 2, but unfortunately, I know just enough about property law to know that he acquires some rights. And this is why I keep coming back to the question as to what extent, you know, at what point do nonconforming uses cease to exist, or at what point can they be eliminated? And I don't know the answer to that question. And what types of conduct can constitute abandonment in addition to just walking away from the property? Are there other things that are recognized as constituting abandonment? Those are some of the questions I have. So I'm not comfortable right now making a determination as to whether it should be 2 or whether it should be 5. I understand what the current code says. but he's in there. And he's waving around pieces of paper that I don't know are going to be dispositive, but they're indicative, if you will, that somebody, that people know that he's got more than two units there. And so, you know, and I'm just pointing that out. So my question is, are you resting on what you gave me, or you want additional time to make this presentation?
No, we would like to come back next month and deal with the zoning issues. I would like to say, though, I didn't grab the abandonment argument out of the air. It's I've looked at it before, but I would like to make sure that it is a serious issue, especially how it will impact this respondent. So I'd like to give you as much information on that, and if we even maintain that argument. Quite honestly, we believe that we probably can supplement the record somewhat with enough to satisfy you that it was never lawfully obtained, and we'd like
to. The thing about it is, this is the sort of thing that, you know, a lot of disputes can be resolved just by people getting here and talking, haggling, a little give and take. That when it comes down to a flat-out head-butting property dispute, then I give people their opportunity to put their best foot forward. That's both the property owner as well as the city. So this additional time we're talking about, do you want this before the next meeting? Do you want it at the next meeting? I would suggest we not do it when we have people sitting out here waiting on other matters, because I can see this going an hour or two.
I don't know. I don't really feel that. I really feel that either we will bring you what we believe is sufficient, okay, to the point, evidence to be done with it, or I mean, we'll either give you what you need or not. But we're going to be done with it. We're not going to drag it on.
We'll make it the last item on the agenda. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
I mean, if you want to meet before then, I'll meet before then. Otherwise, we'll put it up. We'll make it at the next meeting, last item on the agenda.
I think there's just a couple of holes to the issue that we'll raise that we think we should answer, and we will be happy to answer that, both the issues related to abandonment as well as the issues related to the lawful use.
All right. Well, let me go ahead and try to fashion some sort of an order here. Okay, in looking at this notice of violation, because I need Mr. Nicholson to have an understanding here as to what we're expecting him to do in 60 days, if he's running the risk of us fining him if he fails to comply. It looks to me as though the number of units comes into play going when you go all the way down to about six lines above the bottom where it starts repair, replace all plumbing fixtures. Okay, so just hear me out for a second. As I read from there all the way down, repair, replace all plumbing fixtures and supply lines to be in operable condition. Okay, that could, I guess, turn on the number of units that are there, whether units are going to be removed. Then ensure water heaters in all units are properly installed. I guess that could turn on that issue. Then repair, replace water heaters so that units have access to hot and cold water. I suppose that could turn on the number of units. Provide heating facilities to all units. Okay, now let me just ask my question first. And then I go down to provide and maintain fire safety facilities and equipment to include fire extinguishers. Provide smoke detectors to all units. Okay. Now, it looks as though those matters would turn on the number of units that were permitted. But then some of those are also life safety matters that I'm not going to tell him he's not required to comply with. In other words, right, all units, until we're done with this determination, need to have their smoke detectors. They need to have their fire extinguishers.
They do.
Okay. Those are life safety issues.
Right.
So that I can, I guess what I'm saying is, with regard to the notice of violation, with the exception of those matters that I just read off, I would expect everything else to fall within the order that I'm giving now regarding compliance within 60 days. You understand what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, my document is in the back there, but I don't have it in front of me, but I'm presuming I understand. A lot of what has been shown is, has already been done in terms of cleaning up the area, except for the two areas in the back fence.
Fence, trash, debris.
Done, done.
Driveways, sidewalks, landscaping,
that's,
weeds, dead
you.
Trees.
Yeah, this is down here.
Harbridge,
yeah.
Fence again, stairways, decking, chimney, exposed surfaces, handrails. All right.
Okay. I don't understand the driveway and the handrails.
Okay, we're done talking.
Okay.
We're done talking.
I'll ask them separately.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and order. I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance.
Did you do this back?
By April 2, will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. I am excluding from the scope of this order the determination as to the number of units that he's permitted and to the extent that determination impacts them, the plumbing fixtures, the water heaters. Looks like the plumbing fixtures and the water heaters. Okay, I am emphasizing that, notwithstanding the number of units that may presently be there, I am also including in this order, for the purposes of compliance, all safety facilities, fire extinguishers, smoke detectors, and what have you. And then I'm further ordering that this matter will be put on our March 11, 2014 agenda. I would like it to be the last item on the agenda. And at that point, I will hear again evidence and arguments from both parties regarding the number of units that Mr. Nicholson will be permitted to have going forward. And for your benefit, Mr. Nicholson, and I'm forewarning you now, just like I'm forewarning the city, coming here and telling me Juan said this, and John said that, and Mary said, it ain't going to fly.
Right.
If you you've got witnesses that you think are important to hear your case, then you need to see to it that they're here.
Okay.
And I'm telling the city the same. If you've got documents that you're going to tell me, this document says what, this document says that, I'm not going to hear it. If you have the document, I'll certainly look at it. So my point is, I'm going to hear the actual evidence on whether you were ever allowed to have five units, as you claim that you were.
Right.
And then I'm also going to, and so I'll be hearing evidence from both sides on that. And just to forewarn you, the city is also taking the position that even if you were allowed somehow by express promise, assurance, statement, or just acquiescence, or what have you, they're contending that you've abandoned that somehow. All right? So
correct.
You need to be prepared to confront that argument as well. And the argument that I'm hearing on the abandonment issue goes to, as it presently stands, although they're free to bring more if they want, but what I'm hearing so far with regard to abandonment all seems to center around the rental licenses over the years.
Correct.
Okay. You understand that?
And clarification.
Is that into an order?
Yeah.
Right.
Mr. Couch, because our language has changed, and I'm sure he would understand, but the business tax receipt.
Okay. I don't know what that is, what he's defining that as.
Well, you made the reference. The business license itself.
I'm
sorry.
All right. A license that I applied for, is different than a business tax to me. When you're licensed to have a rental unit, is that the same definition as a business tax?
You're asking the wrong person. I don't know the answer to that question.
I don't know it either.
You've got between now
that's
and March 11th to figure it out.
The difference between a business tax and a business license.
It's your case.
Okay.
And like I said, we'll do it at the end of the agenda. So, we'll do it at the end of the agenda. All right.
Okay.
Anything else to be said on this matter?
No, nothing further.
All right. Good luck to y'all.
Okay.
Okay. Case number 2, Janie B. Hill Adams. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
This is before you for imposition of a fine. And I guess I need a little clarification from the inspector. The inspector in the case is Eddie Lopez. The last information I have is everything was completed except for the business tax receipt. I'll see if that still is.
That's correct.
Okay, so we still need a business tax receipt. It's the only thing we need from this individual. And they've been made aware of that.
Yes.
Okay, so that would be the... The city's asking for a imposition of a one-time $250 fee.
Okay. All right. Based on our inspector's report and city's presentation, I will order the respondent to pay the administrative fine of $250. Is that all I need to say?
That's all. Yes, sir.
Effective.
It's not running, so.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry.
Okay, effective immediately, or effective as of today. Okay, that it? Case number 3, Mayan Ocean Waters, LLC.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you say your name, please? Don Ziegler.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you
solemnly
swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Sir, you're here for a progress report.
Yes, sir.
So what progress have we made?
Well, we've completed the construction of the balconies, the redoing of the concrete and all that stuff. We're working on painting those balconies now. We've also completed the columns underneath of the building and also working on painting those. See some pictures coming up. I have some... stuff. I don't know if it was shared with you. I think he said that he had trouble loading it up on the computer. If you'd like to see some of the stuff that we sent to Mr. Garrett, we're currently still on schedule, maybe a little bit ahead of schedule, but as such, still on the schedule that we provided the city at the last meeting.
Very good.
And staff reports sufficient progress from the staff's perspective.
What is it you guys call this thing? A critical path, something or other?
Yes, yes, sir. That would construction critical path schedule. Yes.
Critical path schedule.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Refresh my memory. When are you supposed to be in compliance?
With everything, I think the schedule was somewhere in 2015. With everything complete, as we move through all the different projects and things.
All right. Do we need to reconvene?
We don't have an existing compliance date for the order.
Okay.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
What
happened? So I think we were doing... No, it's not.
We didn't have yet.
We just...
Yeah.
On your list.
What would be a problem? Mind if I look at the schedule real quick?
Okay. It would be a good benchmark.
Right now we're doing columns. That's all complete. Balconies is complete. Roof edge and walkways is our next major project. Yeah, so I think we can.
45 each. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, if we came in. Yeah, I think I think we're going to be able to start this sooner. So if we came back in, we came back in 6 months, I think we'd have another real good benchmark. However, we can do 3 months.
I'd say 3 in May for another progress, and then
pre-summer.
That's fine. Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. Yeah.
Not that I'm looking for an end date, but when do you project being done?
Pretty good. Yep, understand. Our guesstimate is 5/1/2015 to be completely done.
Okay, good enough. All right, so I'm in agreement. We'll go 90 days, have another progress report. Seems like everybody's happy. So as long as everyone's happy, no need for me to intervene.
Okay.
All right, then we will, I'll go ahead and order that this matter be put on our May 13, 2014 agenda for another progress report. And as we continue toward the conclusion, then we'll concern ourselves with a compliance date. Fair enough?
Very fair, sir.
Right.
Thank you.
Good luck, gentlemen. Yep. Case number 4, Jack R. Miles. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. Kelger, this one's here for imposition of a fine. You have some extra for me? This is the window still?
Yeah, it's no problem.
I'm going to drop it down once here. Okay, yeah. The only thing left is the, the only thing they fixed, was the windows. Everything else is still remains and is in non-compliance. The staff is asking for a $150 per day fine to a maximum of $10,000.
Is Mr. Miles the owner of this property?
Yes, sir.
Warm living, outside storage, damaged soffits, fence exterior.
Dorm living still. Dorm living is still there. We they eliminated one. He's incarcerated.
That's one way to eliminate.
Yeah. Well, he did go back in, came back out, and now he's back in again.
So he's seasoned.
Correct.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and find the respondent. Sum of $150 per day, commencing February 6, 2014, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $10,000, whichever occurs first. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Case number 5, Theodora E. Keeling. All right, not seeing a respondent, we'll say the city.
This is before you for, this was a partial order for, that's before you for imposition of a fine, and then the remaining order was for compliance in March. The portion that was for imposition of a fine is related to the unsanitary pool. You may recall this is one where the, I believe he was coming from away, from
North Carolina.
From North Carolina doing repairs. The
last thing he was going to do before he left town was see to it that that pool was cleaned.
That's what he promised. Well, the pool is not clean. And so the staff's position is that he's in noncompliance and asking for $150 per day fine to a maximum of $15,000.
Is this pool secured?
Mr. Stinson, if you can. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Pool is secure.
Secure.
4-foot fence, but it's secure.
Pardon?
It's a 4-foot fence, and the fence is locked.
So that's what minimum requirement, code requirement?
Yes.
And the water is that green?
That picture is from yesterday.
Yesterday.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, what if anything does the city do when they come across things like this? As I recall, the man's relatives that used to live in this house had passed away or something like that. He was part of the estate, and he was going to be taking care of the property. And again, just out of curiosity, what if anything does the city do when they see pools like that?
It's been my experience in the extreme case, the city has hired people to drain the pool and cover it. But that renders the pool pretty much gone, and they're going to have to start from zero. We try not to do that.
And usually it's when, if I can, Mr. Couch, when we've taken a position of basically condemning it to reach a point of condemnation with, although it's not occupied, we have a active and involved, supposed to be active and involved, owner interest. It's a little. It usually doesn't happen that fast.
All right, Amy. How long does it take to get an order into the hands of the police?
I would say if it could be hand-delivered, I'd say by a week from today.
So a week's time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go ahead and find the respondent the sum of $250 per day. Well, hold it. Let me rephrase that. I'm going to amend. No, I'm not. I'm going to find the respondent the sum of $250 per day, commencing January 22nd, 2014, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of
$15,000.
$15,000.
The inspector reports he did see the vehicle with the North Carolina tags at the home yesterday, so we believe he is in town and available. So we'll get that order to him as soon as we get it. And they will remind him that he starts to be in compliance with everything else by March 5th, or he's subject to additional fine.
Well, that remains in effect. This just disposes of our pool fine. Very good. Is that it?
That's it, sir.
All right. On to our new case. Exit Strategy, December 12, LLC.
Good morning.
Can you state your name,
sir? Justin Kilbaugh.
It's
K-I-E-L-B-O-N.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you
solemnly
swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. What's your affiliation with Exit Strategy, December 12, LLC?
I'm an employee of Right By Properties, who is an agent of Exit Strategy.
And you have authority to speak on their behalf?
Yes.
That's from my corporate boss, Eric,
in Michigan.
He'll be able to speak intelligently?
I hope so.
I hope so.
as intelligently as possible.
Okay. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
Can I find the respondent noncompliance? And how much time is the city going to require to come into compliance, or how much time do you think should reasonably be required for the respondent to be able to come into compliance?
Well, we were requesting next cutoff.
Next cutoff for the benefit of Mr. Is it Kilbon?
Kilbon, yes, sir.
Kilbon? The next cutoff for Mr. Kilbon's benefit is March 5, 2014. So the city is suggesting you ought to be able to have this work done by March 5, 2014. What say you to that?
My corporate has informed me that we actually don't have the funds available to fix the repairs. We had gotten a quote for the roof repair, and that was close to $10,000 alone. And we just kind of wanted to find out what our options were from there.
What it looked like the before.
Options are to fix it or sell it to somebody who will fix it.
Okay.
They're kind of limited.
Very.
What? Oh, just wanted to advise that a tenant is here, and I don't know if I think they wanted to be heard. If you have a moment, and I'm not sure what they want to bring forward.
All right. Well, hang on one second.
Yes.
So, what are you telling me? You're telling me you're. Company isn't planning on making these repairs?
As far as I know, we don't have the funds available to make the repairs. I have been given word to try and get the tenants into a new home as fast as possible, and I've been working with property management to do that. But as of right now, we don't have the funds available to do the repairs.
Okay. Did somebody want to be heard on this matter? Come on up. You would please state your name and be sworn.
Name Larry Shavers. Larry Shavers.
Can you spell your last name for me, please?
S-H-A-B-E-R-S.
Okay. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Shavers?
I'm here today because I don't want to rent the property that you're showing here. And we started having all these problems, I mean, within a week after we rented the house, which I rented in March, and it started in April. And I've been going to these people every month about these problems, and she just been putting me off. And I didn't know nothing about the code enforcement because, you know, I didn't. And when I found out about it, I contacted them, and they came out. And now, you know, they charge me extra money even to get this house. And I'm here today because I want to know, do I have to keep paying for something like this? Is there the law for this? Or, you know, I don't, you know.
Okay, how much are you paying in rent?
I pay $650 a month. Okay.
I can't give you legal advice, so you'd have to maybe contact the local bar association. They'll direct you to an attorney who can maybe answer your questions, but all right.
But if you look at some of the pictures that he shows on this house, even our electrical box get full of water just from the dew overnight.
All right. Well, let's beat up on Mr. Kilbon for a minute here.
Yes, sir.
All right, come on out, Mr. Kilbon. You've got a tenant paying $650 a month, and you're telling me that your corporation doesn't have the funds available to make the repairs?
Yes, sir. In fact, we actually had... Our corporate hadn't had a clue about the violations until late last month. It was a miscommunication on behalf of a few different employees that are no longer around. As soon as we did find out about the violations, though, we did take action to find out how much and how we repair the property. But like I said, I was informed by my corporate that we didn't have the funds available to do it.
Okay. All right, well, my task is pretty straightforward. I'm just here to find out how much time it's going to take to bring something into compliance and then tell somebody to do that.
Okay.
So, one more time. The city is saying that if you were of a mind, or not you, if Exit Strategy December 12th LLC was of a mind to do these repairs, it should be able to get them completed by March 5, 2014. What say you to that?
I will pass on the information to my boss.
What I'm asking for is, are you in agreement that the work could be done by then if somebody were actually to undertake it, or are you going to tell me it's going to require more time for some reason or other, other than financial exigencies?
If the financials were available, yes, it would be able to be done by then.
Okay. I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by March 5, 2014, to be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Okay.
Okay. I hope your corporation can figure out how to get this taken care of.
I am going to push it as much as possible.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Good luck to all of you.
So do I have to move it down to where I was? Why not? I just come
to the podium. Okay. Come on up to the podium. You want to talk? What's your question?
I want to know, do I need to move out this house, or I don't. Do I go through them, or do y'all decide?
I would suggest you go over there to the courthouse.
Yeah.
This is not legal advice, but they have a lawyer referral program there, and I think for like some modest amount, they'll send you to an attorney that you can consult with for like half an hour. And you can ask him all the questions in the world.
All right.
And they will send you to an attorney who is an expert in landlord-tenant matters.
Yeah.
So if you want your questions answered, like I said, if I were you, I'd go over there to the law library, second floor of the courthouse, ask them for the lawyer referral service, and they'll send you to an attorney who's expert in landlord-tenant matters. And like I said, I think what they do is you can buy like a half an hour of his time for some modest amount.
All right.
And that's where you need to go to get your answers on that front.
We've also provided the information for legal services.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Good luck to all of you.
Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome. Richard and Teresa Ball.
Need to look at this.
Good morning.
Say
your name, please.
Richard Ball.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Ball, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I started pressure washing the house about a week before he got there.
Okay, did I find the respondent in non-compliance? Mr. Inspector, how much time should it take, or Tony, how much time should it take to come into compliance?
Next cutoff. We believe it's reasonable.
The city seems to think you ought to be able to complete this work by March 5th of 2014. We'll see you to that.
Turn on, sir.
All right. We don't need any demonstrations, just a simple yes or no.
Financially, I can't afford it till about 12 weeks when my tax money comes, sir. Right.
You're working on it now?
Correct, sir.
And what needs to be done? It says protected.
I'm still pressure washing it. I'm still scraping. I'm still caulking.
Okay.
Apparently, his camera can't get the caulking that I've done. I've also asked him yesterday when he came to my house about some other residents in the neighborhood, but apparently he can only look at my house.
Okay. Well, how much time is it going to take for you to complete?
I currently told you, sir, 12 weeks.
Well, I'm a little vague on what 12 weeks means.
90 days?
What happened in 12 weeks?
I should return. I'll receive my taxes, sir.
And once you receive your taxes?
I'll have the financials to be able to paint my house. I was trying to paint my house and redo my pool at the same time.
So if I understand what you're telling me, if you had till May 7th...
Excuse me, sir.
If you had till May 7th of 2014, you ought to be able to take care of it.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I do have medical issues here.
I see. Okay. And you're doing this work yourself?
Yes, sir.
Right. Okay. Mr. Ball is asserting that he's doing the work himself. He can have it done in 90 days. We'll say the city. And he's doing the best he can with what he has and other ailments that he's dealing with.
As you'll see on one of them, it says I have androhidrosis, sir, which is the ability to not sweat properly, which in this Florida heat. Go ahead, look through them, sir.
I'll take your word for it. Here, you can have it back.
I'm not trying to be smart.
Mr. Couch.
He wants to still out.
He should be fair, firm, and consistent.
Mr. Vakel,
we'll save the city.
This first notification was back in September of 2013,
right.
And the city, considering what he's indicated and knowing that he's working on it now, we still believe that if we maybe split the baby, that we can probably have it done in 60 days.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and give the respondent until May 7, 2014 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. So I've given you your 90 days. Just get the job done.
All right.
As you can tell from the city, they would rather it be done sooner, but whatever. Giving you 90
I'd like
days.
To try to have it done sooner.
That would be nice. In any event, you've got till May 7.
I'd like to know how the inspector does his job. If he gets it from phone calls or he actually goes out and does his job.
You know, if you have folks in your neighborhood that you think aren't...
I do, a sexual predator.
Okay, well...
And that's how he's probably getting his calls.
We've moved on to another topic now, but let me just get back over it. If you think there are folks that, are not taking care of their property, by all means, report them to the
city. I showed them yesterday. Did I not, sir?
All right.
Thank you.
You know what? We're done.
Good job, sir.
Good luck,
that's
Mr. Good. Ball. No good deed goes unpunished. Laverne Bell, anyone here for the respondent?
Yes, there he is.
You've been waiting patiently, listening to all manner of nonsense.
Good morning, I'm Laverne Bell, 1021 Cadillac Drive.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Ms. Bell, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, I agree.
I find the respondent non-compliance. Mr. Stenson, how much time should be required to come into compliance?
Next cutoff, Mr. Kelton.
All right, Ms. Bell, the city is suggesting you ought to be able to take care of these things by March 5th. What do you think?
I agree. The window was done over the weekend. It's just a matter of removing the red vehicle that's not currently tagged. But the window I did have done over the weekend. There was another vehicle that was sighted, which was moved shortly after it had been sighted. So I am working on it.
We agree. She's working on it.
And I will order. Well, let me go through my formalities nonetheless. And I will order the respondent to come into compliance by March 5th, 2014, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. I'm sure the inspector's told you, but let me just remind you, once you get it taken care of, call the inspector for his final inspection. He puts a notice of compliance in the file, and then you're done.
All right, and thank you.
All right, case number 9 is in compliance. Do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
No, sir.
All right, then we will adjourn that portion of our